Mayday, all units, Mayday, go ahead.
We're Charlie Delta 5.
We have deployed. We got a Mayday down the Charlie Delta corner of the structure, 1st Division.
Command, 3-4.
Go ahead.
It looks as if the whole foreign system came down.
This is not a test. MUSC Health's Emergency Management and Disaster Preparedness Podcast, designed for your busy life, arming you with the knowledge and skills when faced with uncertainty.
And this is not a test. MUSC Health's first Emergency Management and Disaster Preparedness Podcast. I'm Eric Madrinsky, the Ambulatory Emergency Manager. I'm joined here by Brian Wood, the University Emergency Manager, and our two special guest, which I appreciate you guys being here. We have Major Steven Espinosa. Steven, how are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you today, Eric?
Good. And we have Lieutenant Tim Broder. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Situational awareness is the basic of looking up, right? We live our life right now. Everybody's got their head in the phone, right? And so having situational awareness to me is looking up and processing information. So processing information that is going on around you. What I mean by that is, are individuals in the background, especially if when we're talking about a medical atmosphere, a medical workplace, we're all very, very busy. And so situational awareness is looking further from what you're immediately looking at when you're at work. During life, situational awareness is looking up from your phone.
If I could jump in, when we describe situational awareness, I think it's one of those phrases that hides its intention. I think it's one of those phrases that, to use Brian's favorite word, obfuscates what it means. Kind of the way the word articulate is a complicated way of saying explain. So situational awareness, I think it's just awareness of surroundings, whereas situational kind of gives it a specific context rather than a broader broader perspective. And it's a conscious effort.
The
analogy I can use is if you go home and your spouse or partner looks upset, you notice it, you're aware of it, even though you're not necessarily looking for it, you have an awareness of it. And I think people do that in their everyday.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of making it purposeful and conscious.
Well, and recognizing, right?
I mean, correct.
You have to recognize
purposeful
it.
And conscious, yeah. Absolutely.
In our world, in law enforcement world, you got that close threat, mid-range threat, and a far threat, too. And it's applicable in anything that you do. You're walking down a street. What's the closest hazard to me? What's that next? And downrange from there. So it's a lot of applications.
And how would you interpret that into what we do, into healthcare? You know, looking at those different levels of threat.
Well, it's no difference than you're sitting at the front desk and someone comes through that front door. You have to have that awareness to be heads up looking, seeing what is coming in, because that's the first stop, a first point that you could find somebody to stop a threat coming into one of our environments here.
And it's not necessarily even looking for a negative trait. It's
right.
It's a customer service skill. It's looking,
yeah.
It's looking to analyze what's going on with the person in front of you so you can provide service or care. Or take a step back and say, "Hey, there's something wrong going on here."
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily just one single tiered in terms of
threat.
Yeah,
that's a great point actually, because if you're got that heads up recognition, they come in and they're holding a limb that's bleeding. We already know what the problem is. Or you kind of start to fast track some of the things that are questions that I would imagine that they would then want to follow on questions for that type of a medical environment to kind of bring it back there.
The power of hello. I mean, when somebody walks in, I mean, everybody sees it, especially if you work here at MUSC or anywhere, any big building, you have the 1,000-yard stare of like, I don't know where I'm at and where I need to go. So, I mean, that's the perfect time for that power of hello, right?
Absolutely. So especially here on our Charleston campus, it's very confusing. Medical buildings are very confusing. So what we're asking individuals on our campus to do is utilize the power of hello. So we kind of are almost framing that phrase. It's something we do every day, but now we're framing that phrase into purpose and having meaning. And so we as law enforcement, as public safety, we utilize the power of hello on the way walking here, right? You know, and so what we're asking our care team members to do is utilize the power of hello to try to see if that individual who might be acting suspicious or might not, they, you know, what are they doing? You know, it's that gray area that they're in, right? It's an individual that could be acting suspicious, could be, quote-unquote, casing the joint, so to speak. Or it could be somebody who doesn't remember where they parked, or their wife went in behind a secured area, you know, 2 hours ago, and they don't know. So what we ask individuals to do is talk to a coworker and say, hey, I'm going to go use the power of hello on that gentleman over there. Now your coworker instantly knows, okay, you're in a suspicion and you're trying to figure out whether or not this person is just lost, or whether or not this person needs help, or whether or not there's something a little bit more nefarious to the back. So you talk to your coworker, you say, hey, I'm going to go utilize the power of hello on that gentleman that's over there, you know, looking at people entering and exiting through a secured area. Ask your fellow coworker to come over. And now what you're doing is you're trying to navigate that risk. You're trying to see if that individual does have something nefarious going on, or is the person lost or in need of something. 99.999% of the time on our campus, it's an individual who, you know, doesn't know where they are, doesn't know where they're going, doesn't remember where their spouse was, is looking for the gift shop, is looking for Starbucks. And so you walk over to that individual and you say, hi, how you doing? Can I help you? And depending upon what their response is to you, you're navigating that risk. You're navigating that risk of whether or not you should be calling over either public safety or hospital security.
Or ultimately 911.
Or ultimately 911 for any of our off-campus clinics, yes.
And it's such a great icebreaker, just as easy as just getting out and saying hello. I mean, you've got, and Brian kind of hit on it, you've got a lot of folks here that are high stress. They've got loved ones that are sick. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they park. They don't know how to navigate different campuses. And all of a sudden, you're just doing an easy icebreaker. Hey, how you doing? Well, not so good. And then you start to navigate that, and you get the resources in. And it's just great customer service. Just to get down to the basics and out of the kind of the law enforcement perspective of things, it's good customer service. Just say, hello, how are you today? How can I help you? It's just such a great icebreaker just for that simple fact.
And it's right within the realm of what policing does is helping people.
Absolutely.
It's right in that lane. And we're fortunate that our job on campus allows us to fill that gap. Everyone else on campus is busy with either patient care or on the business side of it, whereas public safety specifically has a role in making sure people are okay and serviced while they're here on campus.
What about officers in the community? I mean, you've been officers in the community before. I mean, you're first role here wasn't just at public safety, right?
Right.
So how do they use the power of hello out in the community?
In a similar fashion, part of our responsibility as police officers, specifically in a municipality, is to know our population so you can know when things are amiss or when someone is out of place or acting differently. Without that day-to-day knowledge of who and what your community is and involves, you're really not doing your job. You're leaving yourself at a disadvantage. Going back to our famous phrase, situational awareness, you're leaving yourself completely in the dark without being familiar with what's going on. You do yourself and everyone else around you a disservice.
I was originally hired at a different agency under the Cops More grant, which was community-oriented policing. And I was reminded several times of my chief, that's what you were hired for. Get out there with the community. And the contacts that you could make and forge with just getting out in different communities and saying, hey, we're here, we're human, we're not like these robots that everybody thinks that we work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It kind of humanizes things a little bit. And I got more good information and great contacts just by getting out of the car, getting out in a community and making friends with some folks around that local area, and had some stellar stuff become of that.
So one of the projects we're working with ambulatory here from USC is meeting with area police chiefs of different police jurisdictions. Ultimately, our ambulatory facilities the majority of them don't have security or public safety in. So we're reliant on those just jurisdictions in the area to come respond during incidents. So one of the thought processes we had was let's invite them into our clinics, get the police officers, the firemen, our first responders into our clinics so they're able to look around, meet our staff, and answer questions. I think there's a lot of what ifs and you know, information that our staff doesn't know and want to know, but getting those officers and firefighters in our clinics gives them that ability to ask those questions. But I think as law enforcement, and I know when I was a fireman, one of the things we like to do is visits in buildings because, you know, it's easy to get lost. And how do we respond to different areas of the building? What are the threats that we have to worry about? As a fireman, I was like, I didn't want to crawl into a building full of chemicals if I didn't know that type of thing. I'm sure it's different for you guys too, for law enforcement, if you don't want to go into a building and not know where you're going.
Yeah, so medical buildings are the worst, and they're incredibly confusing. We have stairwells to nothing, you know, and so for our ambulatory clinics, getting those local police officers inside and walking them around and you know, showing them where the staircases are, showing them where the, you know, equipment is, things like that. Where are the secured areas? You know, what would they do if they saw a suspicious person? You know, and we called it in from ambulatory clinic. So making that connection is perfect and very needed. Steve, I'm looking at you. Situation.
I'm the worst at storytelling. It's all just like a blank. It's just 22 years of blank.
Yeah. He retired and he did a full system dump.
Yeah.
Don't blame. We'll just reset. Get rid of that, flush, reset, yeah. Start with a new job.
Format card.
You know, there is one story. Back when I was a lieutenant in Queens, we would do bag theft operations at Macy's. Our commercial districts would get crushed with people stealing pocketbooks and wallets and things like that. So during one operation, I'm focused on the exit to make sure that the person who grabs the wallet, you know, is apprehended, bypassing all points of returning it. During that, I see a young man like almost prance run by me. And I just, it's in my brain. And there was something registering in the back of my head, like, why is this kid running inside of a mall? And my mind is fighting to get that into the conscious part. And about a second later, a woman's chasing him. And I ran and caught the kid. But my brain was so focused on the task at hand that the bell ringing in the back, I wasn't paying attention to that little bell ringing in the back. And this was thankfully a minor event, ended, you know, resolved peacefully. But I think in policing, in any job, there's a little glimmer of light that's blinking in the back of your mind that you need to pay attention to. And if you don't, you could be at a loss or in harm's way. And I think we all have that sense of awareness that's in the back of your brain that you need to bring to the front of your brain. I think everyone has that. Like I said, when you get home and your spouse is not acting right, there's something in your brain that says, hey, there's something going on here that I need to pay attention to. I think we need to kind of develop that skill in a broader sense and bring it into the workplace. So we're aware, do people need care? Great. Are they a danger? We can manage that. But if we have to pay attention to those signals that we're intaking that are processing in the back of our mind.
And it's weird that you bring that up because we did the previous podcast on survivor's mindset, mm-hmm. right? And so we talked about denial, deliberation, and decisive act. We as police officers, with our training, we get through that in about a second. But it happens to us. We've talked about that before. It happens where you're looking at something that's happening, and your brain's denying it, right? And then you're now deliberating, and now you get to a decisive act. That 100%, you know, that was just a kid prancing. But that's 100% of what happens in these active threat scenarios. If, God forbid, you're at a workplace and you hear, you know, a loud bang, 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 your first few thoughts are going to be denial and deliberate. What we want you to do, and the focus of these podcasts and the focus of everything that we do in emergency management with our active threat preparation, is to get you through that as quick as possible. And I can't stress this enough. When we do the live action active threat drills, the individuals who have taken our course are, boom, out of the building. And they're out of the building in under a second. I heard that. That's a gunshot. I'm out of here.
Yep.
And the individuals who have not taken the course are, you know, kind of like, oh, what was that? And we're at an active threat.
Training,
you know,
yeah, they know
training
what's coming.
They know what's coming.
They know what's built into the day.
Yeah.
There's a very similar story to yours. people who survived the 93 World Trade Center bombing got out of the building on 9/11. They knew that things were going wrong and their best bet was to get the heck out of there. People who hadn't been through the 93 bombing did what you did and denied and stayed and for the worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So action beats reaction every time.
We've talked about this. It's the what if game.
Yeah.
It's exactly that. Play that out in your head. Figure out what you're going to do, because that then shortens the action once you see something, to put it into action to then either flee or fight or whatever it is that you're going to do. So we've talked about that. That's a great full circle.
Playing that what if game with your coworkers during your team huddles. And what I try to tell everybody is, live in the gray area when you're meeting with individuals and asking them, what do we do if? And live in that gray area. Not everything's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
I didn't call on a mayday at the fire department one night. It was a series of thunderstorms ran through Lexington County, and we had like three fires going on at the same time, which is kind of a lot in areas that didn't have hydrant. How are we going to get water to these places? And two of them, the first one had a tree collapse in on the building, and there was somebody in traps, so you have everybody going all out to get there and make sure you can get people out. They're halfway through the fire. They pop another fire in the southern part of Lexington County. So we're all listening at my station. We're at Station 28, just kind of listening. We're like, we're going to get called for something. I mean, we have to. We don't have enough water. How are we putting this stuff out? So sure enough, we get toned out thinking we're going to go to another fire. We get our own fire. So we get there, and two engines, 1,000 gallons of water each, so 2,000 total. Not a lot of water to put on a big house fire. So this house has been renovated multiple times. We start getting water in. The battalion chief sends us in the back, and we start hearing things. If you don't even know what fire sounds like, you know what people, you know what radio traffic sounds like, the normal things that you hear, and you start hearing popping sounds. That's not right, guys. Like, we need to get out of here. That's the floor above us about to give way. We got to go, Dave, let's go. And he was like, well, what do you mean? Why do we have to go? And all I remember is just taking my hands and making a snow plow and just pushing him, you know, in front of us, because I'm hearing these poppings around the beams above us. And right at that time, one of the beams fell and ended up pinning myself down against the wall. So I'm literally like T-Rex arms against the wall, and my radio always sits in between. If you get pinned on one side, you can't reach it. So I'm sitting there like that. I got him out the door, but he didn't realize I wasn't with him. He just went to rehab and didn't know. Jeez. I wasn't. So I call a mayday. They come and get me out. I was fine. It was that.
Auditory cues.
Yeah, the cues of those nail poppins. I was like, yeah, we have to get out of here. And then, like I said, the mayday call, if we would have been a little bit the other way, we would have had a big armoire plus the beam that would have landed on the both of us. So it's just hearing that, and I think that's the training that we had of, we need to get out of here. Building,
yeah, but
so.
You're also focused on the fire and hearing those things, and that's what situational awareness is it being aware of everything that's going around you and utilizing your knowledge of the past to tell you what's going on in the present to forecast what's going on in the future. And that's literally what situational awareness is.
My favorite, Dave came up to me after. He's like, hey man, did you hear there was a mayday where we were at? I'm like, yeah, that was me. He's like, oh, you want something to drink? And this is Not a Test, MUSC's first emergency management disaster preparedness podcast. I'm Eric Madrinsky.
And I'm Brian Wood.
Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, guys.
This is Not a Test. Preparedness is a mindset.